Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mr. Higa, for your music, sharing your musical gift with all of us and encouraging us that way. As we all look forward to gobbling the turkey that Mr. Vidal has shared with us, some of us in cards and so forth, this coming Thanksgiving weekend coming up, it's appropriate that we might share the gratitude that we feel and think about because of what God has done and is doing in our lives. We are truly blessed and we are absolutely grateful. I borrowed this from the wall of the men's restroom, if you don't mind. I didn't want to have all of you run in there and hold the door for you. So, but as we know, Thanksgiving was established as a national holiday, and we observe it this coming Thursday, the 28th. And by President Abraham Lincoln in 1863, and it dates back to 1621, actually, when the pilgrims offered a prayer of thanks before their meal with the members of the Wampanoag tribe of Indians. The pilgrims were grateful. They were grateful for their first harvest in the New World, which their neighbors, the Indians, helped make possible so they wouldn't all starve to death. The momentous occasion was often referred to as the first Thanksgiving. And we can be hearkened back to the time when King David was grateful to God for God allowing the ark to be transported to Jerusalem. You remember that from 2 Samuel 6. It was transported to Jerusalem, and David was so grateful and so excited and so thankful that he could barely contain himself. He danced before the Lord with all his might. He was leaping and whirling before God, before the Lord. His display of thankfulness was so exuberant that his wife chided him for celebrating it in a manner unbefitting a king. David refused to let her spoil his thanksgiving. It was before the Lord, he explained. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I'll be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. It is truly worth considering how being blessed and being grateful go hand in hand with humility. If that's not, that is something we definitely should consider. How humility in our own sight goes with thanksgiving. And David said, this is the verse that just lodged in my brain and made me consider sharing this with you. In Psalms 119, the longest psalm, in verse 164, this just is so profound, it stuck with me. And I've been thinking about it for weeks. Psalm 119, verse 164. 7 times a day, I praise you. He was saying to God, I praise you 7 times a day. And I thought, I've been thinking, you know, why don't I do that? That's something that I need to do. We need to do that as his children, his holy people. 7 times a day I praise you because of your judgments. Verse 165, great peace have they who love your law. We love his word, and we're in it every day. We love his law, and nothing causes them to stumble. We have so much peace, it gives us humility, and nothing causes them to stumble. It's worthwhile to consider what happened in 2 Chronicles 20 when we read the story about the Hebrew word Beraka, the valley of Beraka. The valley of that Hebrew word means blessing, the valley of blessing. After the people of Moab and Ammon and others with the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. They came to Jehoshaphat and said, a great multitude is coming against us from beyond the sea, from Syria. And Jehoshaphat feared. He became afraid and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And all Judah gathered together to ask help from God. From all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Joshua stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in the new court and said, God of our fathers, aren't you the God in heaven? And don't you rule over all the kingdoms and nations? And isn't it in your hand with all this power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Aren't you the God who drove out the inhabitants before us, before your people Israel, and you gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And we dwell in it. And we built this sanctuary for your name, this temple. Saying, and when they dedicated, they were saying, if disaster comes on us, sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we'll stand before this temple in your presence, for your name is there, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here the people of Ammon and Moab and Edom are coming against us, those who you wouldn't let Israel invade when we were coming out of the land of Egypt. We turned from them and didn't destroy them. And here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession that you gave us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this multitude that's coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. We don't know what to do. But our eyes are on you. God has some good things to say about people whose eyes are on him. The Spirit of God came on Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, one of the sons of the Levites of Asaph, in the middle of this assembly, and he said, listen, all you of Judah and Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says to you, do not be afraid. He was inspired to tell them what God was revealing to them at that moment. Don't be afraid because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They'll come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruah. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of God. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. When he heard this revelation from this prophet, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, with all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before God, worshiping God, being grateful, being thankful to him. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. They rose in the morning and went out to the wilderness. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat said, "Hear me, Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Trust in him. Believe in him. And you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who would sing. He appointed a group of singers that they would sing to the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. And they were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." God's mercy lasts forever. We're going to find that out. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, so all this group began to sing and praise, God set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Edom that had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon stood up against the people of Moab and against the Edomites to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Edom, or Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil after these people had destroyed each other, they found an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry that they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Beraka. And there they blessed the Lord. They assembled in this valley of Beraka. Look up the meaning of that word in Hebrew. The valley of blessing, because that's where on the fourth day they blessed God. They blessed and thanked the Lord, filled with gratitude. Therefore, the name of that valley is called the Valley of Beraka, or the Valley of Blessing, to this day. And they returned, and every man of Judah and Jerusalem went back home with joy to go back to Jerusalem, for God had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of God, the temple. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of all the countries around them when they heard that God, the Lord, had fought against the enemies of Israel. Wow, this nation, God fights on their side. We better back off. Mind our own business. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all around. 1 Chronicles 29, when David had dedicated the temple, he said, "Blessed are you." He was thanking God for the fact that they were able to rebuild a temple. "Blessed are you, the God of Israel forever and ever. Yours is the greatness, power, and glory. The victory and majesty for all that's in heaven and earth are yours. They acknowledged in humility that God is God. He rules over everything. Riches and honor come from you. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over everything. In your hand is power and might to make great and to give strength. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you. We thank you and praise your glorious name. That's what we do every time we sing together. In Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5, David extolled us and said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for God is good and his mercy lasts forever. His truth endures to all generations." We see even Jesus Christ gave us the example of gratitude when he, in John chapter 6, before Passover, when he took the loaves and he broke them and divided them up, the loaves and the fishes, and gave them to the disciples. When he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and those that were sitting down, and also the fish, as much as they wanted. We're admonished by the letter of Paul to the Philippians. I've always loved this in Philippians chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, in everything, in every prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Every time we ask God for everything, we need to do it with thanksgiving, by thanking him for the fact that we could ask the God of heaven and earth, the creator of the universe. We have direct contact, with a conversation with him, that we can speak to the God of the universe and ask him to care for our needs and fix our afflictions and help us out. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And if we do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'll share three ways of giving thanks that we will want to consider during this time of thanksgiving and gratitude. There are three of them that I noted down here that help us build and maintain healthy relationships with each other and with our Creator God and Jesus, his Son. That's why thanksgiving is so significant and important to God. Paul wrote, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Our expressions of gratitude to God for his many blessings draw us nearer to him, acknowledging our dependence upon him and reaffirming our relationship to him. But what does it mean to give thanks? It certainly includes our words, but the Bible suggests the practice of thanksgiving should not be limited to just verbal expression. action should accompany our words, because what we do validates what we say. In this season of Thanksgiving, it's important to reflect on the tangible ways we let God know that we are thankful. Here are the three ways that I would like to share with you. One is obedience. Obedience to God is an important way of showing our gratitude to God. One of the clearest demonstrations that we appreciate God's presence and activity in our life. Isn't that amazing? The God of the universe is actually active in each of our lives. Brings us a deeper connection to Him and to grow in our discipleship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Paul wrote, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it." Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7. Abounding in it, abounding in faith, with what? With thanksgiving. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. The good news of God's kingdom and our new relationship with Him and each other through gratitude guides us through our lives. Paul suggests that there is something about growing in Christ and our commitment to the truth that allows us to overflow with thankfulness. We can overflow with gratitude because of this Spirit He's given to us that lives inside of us. Paul says that if we are obedient, we will also be thankful. And likewise, if we are truly thankful, we'll also be obedient. Gratitude, thankfulness, and obedience go hand in hand, right? We consider our ways and recommit ourselves to our Christian faith, following the model and example of Christ more completely. His example of sharing and serving others. He said, "I didn't come to serve myself, but to serve others and to give my life." Obedience is better than sacrifice, but sacrifice is still important. Obedience is an evidence of our thankfulness. Thankfulness and thanksgiving are so connected in the Bible that God's children, us, we are asked, His holy people, we are asked and commanded to bring a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes it's a little sacrifice to be thankful, right? Depending on what we're dealing with at the time. Bring the sacrifice of thanksgiving in Psalm 107, 21 and 22. Give thanks to God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Sometimes the best way also, not only with obedience, but the best way also to give thanks to God is to serve others. The writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, let's continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." But don't forget, not only the lips, don't forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, the sacrifices of sharing, God is well pleased. In Hebrews 13, verse 15 and 16. Thanksgiving, we are told, is at least two things: what we say and what we do. It's the obedience and the action, what we do. We offer thanks from our mouths, but we must not forget to demonstrate our gratitude by using our hands and feet in service. We must do good and share. Service is the model of Christ, who did not come to be served, as he said in Matthew 20. He didn't come to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for many. Our gratitude for Christ for his many blessings should compel us to replicate those blessings that we have in the lives of those around us. We can work to replicate the gratitude in our own lives to those around us. When Jesus had served his disciples by washing their feet, what did he say? I gave you an example. I have given you an example, right? We remember this from Passover time every year. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. One of the great ways we give thanks for what God has done for us is to serve others. Obedience and service declares our gratitude. For God's holy people, for all of us, every day is Thanksgiving Day. Every day for all of us is a day of gratitude, a day of thanksgiving. November 28 provides us an opportunity to be reminded and be particularly sensitive about giving appropriate thanks to God for all that he has done, not only what he's done, but all that he has revealed to us that he plans to do, not in our lives only, but for all creation, right? So we tell God how much we appreciate him. At the same time, our acts of obedience, sacrifice, and service, those three things, allow us to tangibly demonstrate the gratitude that fills our hearts. We can be thankful, sharing that gratitude and thanksgiving with each other all the time. Now, Mr. Higa will lead us in another Thanksgiving hymn.